The fact that Osama bin Laden was found in a walled compound that was near a city in Pakistan surprised a lot of people, but not Thomas Gillespie. Thomas Gillespie is a geography professor. He's at UCLA. We spoke to him back in 2009, early in 2009, about a study that he led that used scientific methods to try and predict where Osama bin Laden was hiding out. That study was based on information from 2001. Here's some of what Gillespie told us 2 years ago.
We hypothesized that he would need some electricity, so we looked for houses that had electricity. He would probably need some protection, so we looked for houses that had walls over 3 meter tall. We looked at privacy, spaces between structures. We looked at houses that had more than 3 rooms. And then finally, just because I study biogeography, I mean, I think it's important that he has a tree for quality of life. And if he goes outside, I'm sure he's very obvious that intelligence satellites are watching him.
Thomas Gillespie and his team of students suggested that bin Laden could be in a town in northwest Pakistan. Turns out they weren't too far off the mark. We have Thomas Gillespie back on the line right now. Nice to talk to you after 2 years, and I haven't heard you yet say, because I haven't given you a chance, I told you so, and I don't know if that's how you feel, but you did come pretty close, didn't you?
Well, I think as far as describing a compound, we came pretty close, but we were about 230 miles away from the actual location where he was found.
Not bad when you're talking about the entire country of Pakistan, not to mention the Afghanistan-Pakistan region, because we didn't know even what country he was in.
Well, I will say, yeah, back in 2009, you know, after this paper came out, people would say, what about Saudi Arabia? What about Iran? What about Yemen? And just based on our analysis, there wasn't a very high probability that he would be in those regions.
So for the particulars of how he was living, those that you ticked off on the audio tape from 2 years ago, how close did you come on those? And by the way, we should say that the place that you had identified was Parachinar, an urban area. You said he's most likely to be about 200, 230 miles, as it turns out, from Abbottabad, where he was actually found. But the conditions, how he was living, tell us which of those you seem to get right.
Well, I think, actually, if you go through the checklist that we had in the paper, it pretty much matched almost right on. There was a tree, there were tall walls, it appeared to have electricity, and it clearly had protected structures.
Why were these the factors that you specifically decided to look at, you know, the height of walls or whether or not there was electricity and the other factors?
In general, we just looked at Osama bin Laden and figured out some things about him, like he was 6'4", so he needed to have a tall building. There was a rumor that he was on a dialysis machine, so he needed electricity. And then he certainly needed privacy because he's a very easy and distinct figure to identify.
Needed privacy, hence the tree.
Hence the tree and possibly the tall walls around the compound or structure.
A tree would help divert the view of any kind of intelligence satellites, which were indeed watching him.
I think so.
Tell us how you used your own expertise in tracking down and looking at the risk factors for endangered species, which is what you do at UCLA, to figure out where bin Laden just might be.
Well, if you're trying to find anything, be it something that's really rare, like an endangered or maybe a recent extinction, you got to kind of figure out these things at different scales. At a global scale, you figure out its last known location. At a regional scale, you figure out its habitat. And then at a very local scale, you try to identify what a bird would like, for instance, what type of tree. And then you try to break down its life history characteristics and match it up to that. So that's how you find rare things. What we're also doing is, for instance, I work in Hawaii, where we're trying to find habitat to plant endangered trees. So we model where they might have been in the past, where they'll currently be right now, and then we model what they'll look like in about 20 or 40 years as temperature and climate changes.
So how'd you apply that to Osama bin Laden?
As far as identifying endangered species, we just looked at it at three different scales. At the global scale, we didn't know where his last known location was, and then we could go to a higher resolution by looking at a regional scale, picking out different cities, which are like a habitat, and then we went to the individual level of a house, compound, or structure, which is like an animal living in a very specific tree or area.
Did you ever consider Abbottabad?
No, you know, I never actually heard of it until about 2 days ago. The way the model predicted it, you know, it gave a probability for a large section of the Earth, and Abbottabad fell into that probability, but no, we never heard of it. And actually, my hunch had always been that he might have been in Baluchistan. So it was quite a surprise and, you know, very pleasant to hear that they found him in Abbottabad.
Well, of course, a lot of people had a hunch that he might be in a cave.
Yeah. Even after we wrote this paper, I, you know, just offhand with friends, trying to prove that he wasn't in a cave where you have an area that's covered up with snow, it's hard to heat, it's very easy to see a thermal, you know, any type of thermal data coming out of a cave. And then you can always see people walking in the snow. So that just seemed an incredibly low probability, but I would almost say that 25% of people believed up till about maybe 4 days ago that he was still in a cave.
So let's say, you know, in terms of what you're going to be telling your grandchildren, you can't quite say that you pinpointed the place. What would you say?
Well, I'll probably say that I planted a whole bunch of trees in Hawaii to get them off the federal endangered species list once I get to that age.
This is your job. This is your job one, of course.
Yeah, that is. And that's really what I do. But I guess if I think back, you know, it's an incredibly tough question. And we started this in 2007. So to try to be able to come up with a standard and repeatable model and method and then have the students go through and really just do such a fabulous proof of concept of how high resolution data we can get, I think that's probably the thing that will stick in the back of my mind the longest.
Nice to talk to you again. UCLA Geography Professor Thomas Gillespie, thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa.